On a scale of one to our Jayco at Road America last year.
Our Jayco.
It's not as fancy as your Jayco.
Oh, wow. We didn't even have running water or electricity. So that's not good.
Oh, no. It's got all that.
Hello and welcome to the Unnamed E-Racer podcast. I'm your host, Parker Kligerman, NASCAR driver, and you know the rest. Joined by the only man who's ever been so excited for race control, he didn't even want to see the race. Joshua Mendoza, and none other than the meme team king, AJ Henderson, also known as the Controller King. Hey, thanks for joining us. Also, special guest.
You're welcome.
Second, or purveyor of E-Racer, creator, Lennon Castle. Let's get this thing started.
Thank you, Parker. I know we have an intro song coming.
Oh, you just get pranked. That's the only reason why we bring on you, is to prank you with our intro music. Just kidding.
It's better when you talk over the intro because it's just hilarious. That wasn't my best. I've been getting so good. What? Yeah, go ahead.
They've been telling me that we have a podcast, so I figured I'd come check it out.
You don't listen every week?
Wow.
I listen. I listen minute by minute.
It's the only thing. He takes notes.
Okay,
let's
so what
explain
are we
where
about?
You are, by the way. So you're in Daytona right now. You just practiced for the Daytona 500 in the 77 Spire Motorsports car. What was that like? What was practice like? We all want to know, because we've been talking about the next gen on this podcast for like what feels, I don't know, an eternity.
2 months.
Yeah.
So, and we never heard about anyone who's actually driven it.
It was good. I actually, I'm really excited about our direction today, because we started out and the car drove really, really horrible. And some of it is just trying to get the car lower and lower for speed for qualifying. It got to the point where it was too low and it was almost undriveable. So it really kind of pushed my crew chief and I to really figure out what this thing needs to drive good. We made some good adjustments on it. I don't know if we'll qualify great, but that's almost not important. We're not too worried about that. We're not even too worried about the duels. We'll get up in the draft a little bit, see how it drives, but you know, we don't want to wreck the thing. And then I think that we're pretty excited to get back to work on this car on Friday and Saturday to get it driving good for Sunday's race, because that's going to be important. This car is really cool because everything's the same. Like, everybody has the same equipment. So, there's still big teams out there and they have, an insane amount of resources, but we have the same car as them. So if you see something you like, if you see another team trying something, or their platform looks like this, or the back's high or low or skewed one way or the other, you can try it. I mean, we've all got the same tools. We've all got the same stuff. And I think you'll find that the same guys are still going to be, top of the heap on average. But, I think we've already proven that you can show some speed. So it's a lot of optimism.
It's perfect. Good to hear.
Well, we're getting like every other word because your internet is bad, but it doesn't matter on our end because natively recorded. So we'll get the actual. It will all sound great in the end.
The audience heard everything you said clearly. We did not.
Yeah. If we miss it, okay. if we don't react to something you said, it's because we didn't hear it. So it's going perfect.
But you're optimistic, so that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, it was something. It went something like this. We got in the car, blank, optimistic. Got it. Okay, cool. Thanks. So everything else that happened in the beginning, the rest was awesome. What'd you see out there? Anything interesting besides the, the idea that you obviously have the same equipment as everyone else, you can make those changes, or anything else that stuck out to you, these things?
They do seem to be a handful. But I'm yet to really see. I think anybody is yet to really see how these things are gonna be in a real pack. You know, there's a difference between a test pack and a real pack, you know. So I just don't think that we're going to find out until Thursday night. Maybe not even Thursday night. It may not be till Sunday.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you feel like that's going to be a major factor with the fact that there's only a few open cars out there for Thursday, that it's going to be a lot of open cars racing like lunatics, because if they don't make the show, they don't need the car. And then you guys are all just going to be out there just biding your time.
I think that there'll be a more than usual amount of drivers that are going to race conservative, but I don't know. I mean, there's guys at the pointy end. I mean, I can't imagine Joey Logano backing down because he wants to save his car. I don't think that's very much like him, or a Ricky Stenhouse, or, you know, these guys. I think that there's enough drivers out there that are going to drive hard, including the ones that have to race their way in, that it's going to be what it is.
Yeah. There were a couple of big shoves that guys got in practice today where they got a little squirrely. So who knows what the race will be like.
I told Kevin, my crew chief, like, we don't even know how these cars wreck. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what causes a wreck in these cars compared to the old car. You know, you can look at the draft with the old car and kind of know where people are going to get aero loose and when things are really getting almost out of control. We don't even know what that looks like with this car. It's different. This car is, the bumpers line up different. The side draft is a little bit different. The air, you know, all the aero is just different enough that, like, I hope I'm in the second duel, not the first one. I want to see how the first duel goes. But even then, it's just like, we don't even know what causes a wreck yet. We haven't seen it happen. We haven't even had one in testing, like, you know, Daytona at least. So, I'm going to be pretty conservative in my duel for sure. But like I said, I'm excited about what we got working on today, because I really think that we can make our car drive better for Sunday, and having a good driving car on Sunday is going to be nice.
Well, we do know what caused a wreck at the Clash. It was the 42 of Ty Dillon. So how, on a scale of 1 to 10, fear level of the 42 car right now? Not to put him on the spot, he did drive his heart out. It was pretty awesome to see. I just, after that performance, I'd be a little worried around that thing every now and then. Just be like, whoa, wait a second, that looks like the Clash car.
Yeah, yeah. I think we'll that was definitely, we'll take a mental note on that one.
Got it. All right. So every time on this podcast, we kind of go through the biggest topics in the racing world right now. Here, right now, it is basically the next gen car Daytona 500, NASCAR kicking off the big weekend. We've talked a bit about the car, what you're seeing there, all those things. What about Xfinity? You're going to be kicking it off with colleague. Anything that's on your mind there in the Xfinity series side? Is it weird? Is it going to be weird jumping from a sequential shift car and all the newness of the next gen and the you know, rear view camera to jumping in the Xfinity car and suddenly being like back in regular stock car mode?
I don't know. I mean, I think I just need to be a little bit intentional about it, but I've been driving that same type of car for so long. I mean, there's a lot of muscle memory there that I think will, even if it does feel weird at first, it'll take over pretty quickly. And one perfect example of that is the rear view camera is pretty easy to me now. Like, it's easy to look at. I picked up on it right away. So I feel like going back to the Xfinity car won't be a problem. Hopefully you guys can hear everything I'm saying, and I'm not flipping out.
I have no idea.
AJ's, I think we probably lost him. We lost him. I think he's actually gone.
It will give us all that stuff. I'm not actually still gone. There if he doesn't quit it, right?
Yeah, he's probably so confused right now.
I'm still here. Wow. I'm still here. So
it says he's still connected.
It's
send him a message. Folks, we're trying to track down Lennon Castle. He is suddenly the Daytona still internet.
He's still there.
He's typing in the chat. I've been talking. Well, no. You froze. We haven't heard a thing.
Okay, Landon, you just give your answer in the chat, and then we'll just repeat it.
So if you guys heard anything of
this podcast, in audio and an audiobook all at once.
He's going to give us the answer via text, and we will respond.
Okay, he's going off of muscle memory.
I know exactly what he said. He basically said...
You were completely frozen.
The muscle memory of driving those cars for so long, it won't be that hard to jump in them.
Yeah.
Well, but that's good.
Well, he can definitely hear us because he hears... This is actually great.
Yeah, he's been responding to our questions.
If you can't see this right now, this but we use this funny. Whole trick software, and Landon eventually froze, but it records everyone individually on their own computers and then uploads it. So Parker, you should get everything, and then it sort of puts it all together.
Yeah, hopefully Landon's just talking
right now. He froze,
right
now. But he can still chat with us in the chat. So he's writing us messages in the chat, but he can't talk to us, and his video has frozen completely.
We have discovered the first downside of this software.
Well, yeah. I mean, this would be any software if his internet is this slow.
That's true, I guess.
Daytona internet is not doing well, but well,
maybe he can hop in his in-car camera and use his radio, and we'll just do the interview while he's in.
Well, you know what we should while we fix this?
What
we did get to catch up with our 2022 eNASCAR drivers. Gone. If you haven't heard, eRacer has a team in eNASCAR this year, sponsored by Blue Emu. We got number 6942. So let's take a listen to what Derek Bordeaux and Colin Bowden with the greatest hair in eNASCAR has to say. Now joining us here on the Unnamed eRacer podcast, none other than our first ever eNASCAR drivers, Colin Bowden, driver number the 69, and Derek Bordeaux, driver the number 42. With a zero at the end, I'm kidding. And guys, welcome to the team. And this is on the eve of the first race of the season at Daytona. You got Blue Emu on board. Which one of you is going to finish higher tonight?
Probably me. Bowden's probably going to be in the catch fence somewhere.
Yeah. If we don't win, it's going to be not from a lack of trying. It's going to be styling and profiling up in the catch fence probably. But
there you go.
We're going to give it our biggest effort.
So
it's gonna be wild.
Colin, you got those certain two drinks beside you there. Now that's team eRacer stuff right there. I mean, Jack Daniels and Coke ready for post race, I'm assuming, not pre race.
Yeah. The Coke is for the pre race, and the Coke and Jack are for post race.
Yeah.
You know, those winning moments.
Well, with how crazy this package is supposedly going to be, you might need both the whole race.
Yeah, you get down to the end, you might need a little bit of that Jack just to calm your nerves down to be able to make the race or finish the race, because the testing we've done is the runs are just incredible. I really think this is going to be something they've never seen before as far as this type of race we're getting ready to have.
I love it. That's awesome. Derek, you're back in the series. Do you like the Super Speedways?
Sir.
What's your thoughts on Super Speedway racing right now?
I like Super Speedway. I've always liked everything about it. People say it's like luck, but I don't know. It takes a brain to position yourself in a position to win. So, and I've won that race in my very first start, so hopefully I can repeat, I guess. Or maybe Bowden can do the same I did.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You beat me to it. That's right. You are a winner. So, I mean, Josh, AJ, like, I'm thinking that means we're expecting a lot tonight. You know, like, this isn't – we're not those nice owners. It's like, you know, give it your best shot. We're like, no, win or, like, don't come home.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a very good possibility tonight. Glad we got all the pretty pictures of the cars out of the way now. There ain't no way they're going to look like that by the time we're done with them.
I don't know if you guys saw what we posted on Twitter earlier today, but you guys are going to set the tone for the rest of the eRacer camp where we have the opportunity to win every single NASCAR-sanctioned event.
Yeah, besides Daytona. ARCA.
Besides ARCA.
Can't win them all. Don't win the first one.
We need to get somebody in an ARCA race.
Yes, sir.
That's like you can't.
So, no pressure, guys.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. We got to get this done
early. Exactly.
So
there you go.
Exactly.
I love it. But what do you guys think about this season? The next-gen car, eNASCAR is getting more and more competitive every year. It's incredible just seeing how hard it is just to get to this level. You're racing for a $300,000 prize pool. Has been very well publicized. What do you think for this season? What's who are you looking at? It's going to be the strongest competition. What are you guys going to be happy with? What are you hoping for? We'll start with you, Colin.
So the new car is definitely going to have a chance to equalize the playing field, just like back there in real life. Everyone that doesn't have a lot of laps on this package and this low downforce, so it's kind of who can grasp it the first. I still think, the people that can put the time into it and have just always been quick are still going to be quick, but they might not have that extra little bit that they've had in years past being a new car. And it's just how quick, I think, if the car fits your driving style and adapt, and you can adapt to it quickly enough, you can be able to run with, the people that have been doing it for a long time and it just always had that little bit of extra speed.
What do you think, Derek?
I mean, Vaughn did a pretty good job summing it up. Like he said, the difference mainly, I think, is the tire model. And like Balan said, the more laps, the more everything, you just adapt. And if it doesn't fit you, then you just have to put extra time to adapt to it. So, everything is different, from restrictor plate to short track. The brakes are different. The brakes are actually going to, like, a big, big, big change. So getting on pit road tonight is going to be exciting. And I'm very looking forward to it.
So I know that they changed the brakes, and if you guys don't want to go into details on this, what's different for that? Because compared to the last car to the new car, how are the brakes different? What are some of the things you have to do differently with the new car versus the old car? So
you can change the brake master cylinder, which, for example, if you set it to a point, you can literally mash the brake pedal 100% and keep it that way for like 3 seconds and you won't lock up. As before, you could literally go like 3/4 brake and you instantly lock up, depending on your brake bias.
So I did Apex at Daytona or the road course, and I couldn't stop at a country mile with that thing. So I locked up the tire every chance I got, missed every braking point, but like Derek said, it's with the setup and everything. I think it will be better. It's just something to get used to. Parker, you train one way for so long on what something feels like, and then they pull the rug right out from under you and say, here's something different. So you just got to forget everything and learn something new.
You definitely have to adapt. So, guys, we got the two greatest numbers in the history of racing here this season.
Absolutely.
And the man who's so excited about this is Mr. AJ Henderson, otherly known as the purveyor of our social media. What kind of content are you going to give him here this year? I mean, what are we looking forward to? AJ, what do you want from these guys?
Well, I guess really the main thing is getting in victory lane, but what else are we thinking here? What do you guys got?
Well, you like the memes. We need memes.
Oh, the memes. So, like,
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have all sorts of memes. We love making fun of our competitors, especially Space Station.
Yep, 100%.
Hard not to make fun of them.
Space Station's not our friends. So as long as we beat them every week, that's all that matters.
I heard they're all in the same technical alliance. So we're technically on a technical alliance with Space Station.
That is true.
I don't know what to say. Do we change our Facebook status to "it's complicated"? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
we're working through it.
I think so. One thing I did want to ask you guys is, with this new next gen car, are there any particular tracks you're looking forward to that, maybe with the Gen 6, I wasn't too good at Vegas with the Gen 6, but you're excited, or maybe road courses, you're really excited to take the Gen 6 to, or the next gen to a road course. What do you guys got?
I am excited to take it to a road course, because in that Gen 6 car, I was about a 53rd place car in a 40 car field. So hopefully that'll tighten up. Hopefully that'll make me a little better there at the road courses, because I couldn't be much worse at them places.
What about you, Derek?
I would also say road course. I don't know. I say I'm not that bad at road courses, but I'm better at road courses on like GT cars and whatnot. And I feel like with this new car, the brakes and all that, which was big on the Gen 6, maybe the Gen 7, I don't know. It probably will suit my road course driving style better. So I'm excited to see how that changes up.
I love it. I agree. I think these things, you got to be fun on road courses. I've tried a little bit. From what I've heard in real life, it's funny. They're like, you mentioned, Derek, the GT car sort of thing. So yes, these are very much, or a lot closer to like a GT3 spec, or in America we call it GTD, right, from IMSA, in terms of sort of their performance, whatever. But the one big difference is a NASCAR Cup car is still a lot heavier. So as much as we think it has the same performance, it doesn't quite have the same performance because it's got all that weight, which makes it way harder. So it's kind of a weird, I've heard from some of the guys that drove on the road courses, it just sort of has this weird in between a stock car and a GT car, which hopefully, you know, suits you guys. All right. I want to do a role play real quick. All right. Here we go.
No.
So
hold on, Parker. We're not that kind of podcast. Yeah.
We're going off the deep end.
That's the most random, random segue ever.
I think I got to grab this right here.
Here real quick. All right. So Derek, I'm going to put you in a position here. Two to go. Daytona. You're pushing Colin. White flag. You're still pushing him. When do you make your move?
Out of four.
Boom.
And knowing Colin, he's going to block and he's probably going to wreck himself.
Yeah. Well.
All right, Colin, I'm going to put you in the same scenario. Now, what's your move? Is he right?
Derek just played himself telling me his move. I got a whole lap.
My
move is, but I guess we'll have to be continued. Can't tell him when I'm going to pull out.
He's going to keep it a secret.
I like know what it to look for now, though.
There you go.
These inter-team rivalries, guys. It's already building up.
Another question I have. In real life, they're experimenting with the tandem. Is that something we're going to see with open setups with this car, or are we not going to see too many tandems?
You can tandem, but, I mean, it's hard to say. There is a thing now that if you don't have good connection to one another, you're not going to go anywhere. But there's very few that, the internet connection. Like if you basically run through the guy, but if you actually bump the guy and the guy doesn't like wiggle in front of you, then you can go places.
Okay.
And it's going to be very interesting seeing what people, like if one people, let's say I was going to work with Colin and we don't have that going, then you might want to swap. And if that don't work, then you have to find someone else pretty much.
It's definitely something you can use, but it's, to me, it's not something you want to use all 80 laps, or I think that's how many we're doing, 80 laps. It's just,
it's 80.
It's so white.
Preparation impeccable.
It's already. We're ready, baby.
I don't blame him. I thought it was 100 still.
It's already, you know, just so intense with these runs already, and then just to add that onto it, pushing someone, trying to guess where they're going to go, I just don't think it's something you want to do lap after lap after lap.
I will say that if you get a little bit of like a 3-4 car pack and then someone decides to go 3 wide, middle of the pack, the front four are going to pull away because the side draft is quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing, which we saw it a lot over the weekend with the Podium 500, was blocks and the insane runs people get. Which, you know, it's probably another reason why the race tonight is going to be pretty crazy, according to a lot of people.
You're going faster in open. The runs are faster.
Oh, even faster. Wow.
Is it different than what we saw with like the Podium 500 because it's an open setup and anyone can do it anything? Or is the racing going to be similar, just quicker?
Similar, quicker.
Yeah, I don't know. I spent most of my Podium beat to hell in my car, so I really didn't have any runs to muster. But yeah, like Derek said, the open cars really do some scooting when you get in a pack and get a good run going. And especially if someone
in that field out of 40 or
we're on a bad downward turn. We're turning it around tonight.
I like.
Did you ever end up in the air? I feel like you did at one point or another.
I probably, more times than not, if I go to Daytona, I'm in the air at some point.
And it's not on the flight there and back. So.
But like Derek said, these cars just get such a big run, and And really, if someone gets side drafted, it's almost, they almost slow down to a speed by themselves. So then you're coming up maybe 10, 15 miles an hour faster than them. It's just,
wow.
And then that happens in the middle of the pack sometimes. It's just, you got to be on your toes at all points with this package.
Damn, that's
the
awesome.
The spotters are going to have their work cut out for, I will tell
I
you.
I love
that.
It.
Oh yeah, it sounds
can't
like
wait
it.
To watch tonight.
What he's saying, I've never really, you know, asked for a spotter or needed a spotter, but tonight I'm having a spotter. Like that's how
wow.
That's how crazy it is.
Wow.
No way. So
if
how
you
does,
don't break, you're done.
You've always just done the in-game spotter basically?
Yeah, because Colin? I mean the mirrors are good enough and I just clear myself sometimes. That gets you in trouble a little bit, but it works out too. But more but times than not, we just have someone in the team speak, you know, saying, hey, they're wrecking or whatever. But now tonight, like you need them to know, hey, check up. The whole line's stopping. Like it's just, you can't see it. That's the main thing. It's still for the wreck, but just more so pointing out the checkups is the main thing tonight.
Love it. Well, guys, glad to have you. We're going to do this a little backwards. Before we say goodbye, starting with you, Derek, just say your age, where you're from, where people can follow you on social media.
I'm 26. Yes, sir, 26. Sorry. And I'm from Canada. I'm from Quebec. And you can follow me on Twitter at Dard2121.
Boom. Colin?
Colin Bowden, Suffolk, Virginia. 28 years old, and you can follow me on Twitter at Big Dog Bowden. You follow me on Instagram at C_Bowden93, I think. And Facebook's just my name, so that's the easy one to remember.
That's a good one. And no offense to you, Derek, Colin definitely wins Best Hair Award in eNASCAR this year, hands down.
He's got 8 months to get started on it.
You could probably get there by somewhere. The end. You'd be about halfway, maybe a quarter. By the end of the season, if you started growing it right now. Guys, best of luck. Awesome having you. And we'll get you back on the pod here to update us how you did and throughout the season here to follow you guys along. And we'll be rooting for you. And hopefully we get some great finishes and even better memes or vice versa. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It, guys.
One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Is that it?
All right. Well, those guys, we hope, have done really well,
but we can tell you actually now
that, as Landon has something to say, that they did not do too well. Lap 7, the 88 car decided to drive through Colin Bowden and destroy both of our beautiful Blue Moo cars.
Thanks,
so
Dale.
Blue Moo now. Thanks, Dale. But anyway, Landon's back after his internet issue that we're not sure what it looked like on your side when this all gets put together, but we're hoping it all seamlessly comes together. So, Landon, as you were saying, something about Xfinity, can't remember what.
Yeah, we're talking about getting ready for the Xfinity car, transitioning from the Cup car with the sequential gearbox to the H pattern. I was saying that I think there's enough muscle memory there that it won't be hard for me to go back. And surprisingly, I picked up on the rear view camera pretty quick on the Cup car, so I think I'll be able to go back and forth. You just got to be intentional about it, but I'm excited about the Xfinity race. I mean, you know, we're there to win it, and I feel like we, you know, I've got every opportunity to win it that I've ever had. I've been, you know, preparing for this race. I've got great teammates. You know, I love the plan that Colic Racing always brings to these super speedway races. So it's just got me excited for Daytona, but you know, be just a new season and a new perspective on racing.
AJ, I thought you had something to say.
We heard him that whole time. And when we hear him the whole time, we just come back and nobody has anything to respond with. We're not even faking it.
I saw AJ
like shaking his head as if he had something to say. So I was like, all right, go ahead.
Oh, well, as somebody who did a B-fixed race, which is the Xfinity car in iRacing about 2 hours ago, which I got wrecked out on.
Recent experience.
I think the colleague strat is the way to go because I feel like colleague cars usually don't wreck at Daytona. or Talladega.
They work well together. So, and that's what I'm understanding the strategy is, and I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I think that especially when the field is lined up on the top and there's just three of them in a line, I mean, it's hard to pass three cars. You know, you got to have a lot of help to do it. So it'll be interesting. You know, I've never approached races with that many teammates, and with that coordinated of an effort. So, you know, I still need to focus on driving my car, not just spend the whole time figuring out where my teammates are if we get split up or whatever. But, you know, it's a new cadence that I'll have to get used to, but it's obviously a recipe for success.
I have a question that has nothing to do with any of this, but I've been curious. You didn't have to say that. Okay. All right, so you've raced many cars in your career. Is it ever weird, which I'm sure this happens to all sorts of drivers, it's probably happened to Parker too, where you're at a new team and then you see your car that you raced last year and you're like, hey, I'm supposed to be in that. Oh, wait, no, I'm not, because it's a new year. Has it ever happened?
Yeah, I mean, I've like walked in the wrong hauler before and things like that. I don't know if Parker ever has. But it is, yeah, it's definitely a little weird seeing the same car with the same branding or things like that.
Where I've gotten screwed up before and I switched it after that was the pit signs. When you jumped to team and team, you didn't have your own pit sign. When it switched numbers, I don't think I ever missed my pit stall, but the closest I ever got was basically where I had to stop on pit road and be like, what is my damn number? What am I looking for? So that's when I switched to just having a PK on every car I drove. And the second I got there, I was like, hey, you need to make this sign or here's my sign. But you have a castle.
Yeah, I changed my pit sign this year to my castle. So it's both on Cup and Xfinity. I have the same pit sign.
Bam.
There you go.
I can get that's tricky. Cool. That is one that will totally get in your mind if you're not careful.
Those pit signs are hard enough different numbers to begin with. Even when you know
it's impossible. And in Cup, you look down pit road and it's just a sea of lighted up signs. So then it's the lights don't help anyone. Like,
maybe we should make ours neon with some lights on it so it can stand out.
You should do a little incandescent bulb and just hang it from the top. So you're like the only one with like a little bulb.
Are there like rules for what your pit sign can have? Like, am I allowed to have like fireworks shooting off of it or something?
I know you can't light up the pole.
I want one to have like beads like dangling down so that it kind of like shake and it glitters in the sun. And
I want one of those. I want a tennis ball on a rope like you have in the garage. Those garages people put like the tennis ball.
So you know
ball.
How far you're pulling.
Oh my god, just like a fishing pole looking like with a tennis ball on a rope.
Yeah, it's got a fishing bob on it.
That'd be perfect.
That's really funny.
That's the best.
Now I'm curious, Landon, because in iRacing, the brakes are a lot different than the previous generation of the car in the next gen. Do you feel like that's something that's going to be weird getting used to, maybe going in between over the course of this weekend?
That is something that that's been on my mind today, actually, because I did some pit ins and I'm going to continue to do more pit ins in the Cup car and in the Xfinity car for that matter to get where I need to be on pit road. In the Xfinity car, Parker, where would you say you typically would lift coming off of turn four for pit road?
Like so no right go when sign it gets, on the right. Yep.
Like right when it transitions, right?
Yeah, there's that sign, the Sunoco sign on the right. It's always the same
spot. That's still in the banking, wouldn't you say?
I always think of it's like right at the where it sort of starts to go flat and it's right there to the right. And that's always my sign of like get off, start lifting, bam on the brakes. It's risky.
With the Cup car, you can almost drive like almost a couple breaths farther than that.
No way.
It slows down pretty good. So I've got to pay attention to that and make sure that I don't slide any tires to the Xfinity car.
And yeah, because the Xfinity car, the other problem would be when you go too far in one of those, it just you're not stopping. It's not happening.
No.
It's not like I overcooked a little bit. Oh, no. It's I'm never going to get stopped this is terrible.
Right.
What have I done?
Yeah, so there's a lot of braking potential in the cup car for sure. You can drive pretty far. I don't know if you can drive as far as you can on iRacing, but
yeah, iRacing can go deep. It's crazy.
I haven't reached a full potential of it yet, so I'll probably try to do that on Friday. Just take it way too far. See what happens.
What is it like knowing that you're gonna race in the Daytona 500? Like, honestly, I don't know what that feels like. It's got to be just such a weird feeling to know, like, oh, okay, I'm gonna get to do this. It's it's not your first time doing it, but does it still feel special?
It always feels special. Feels good, man. It's such a good race. You know, it's hard to turn down the opportunity. And you know, it feels great to be locked in and to know that you're racing in it, but there is something special to racing your way in, and Parker's experienced that. And, you know, it's definitely top of my list of like all time racing memories that I'll tell my grandchildren and great grandchildren of the time that I've raced my way into the Daytona 500. So, you know, for those that are racing their way in tomorrow and Thursday, they'll have something to cherish for sure. But just being in that race, you know, is definitely amazing.
That's you did tell so cool. I was curious about that, because being locked in is just like you said, we're not really worried about qualifying. We're not really worried about the duels. So I was like, oh, how beautiful, because I don't know if I've ever been in that position at the Daytona 500. And you did. I'll never forget when you came up to me before that time and said, hey, you know, if you make it, it's gonna be the greatest memory of your life. And it was like, yeah, it was one of the coolest memories.
So, it was. It is. I'll talk about it forever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a help. Well, I always tell people, because they're like, what was it? You know, why does it mean so much? I was like, well, let me put it this way. It's about $500,000 swing for any team that happens to make it versus miss it. So let me just put it there. Like, one race, $500,000. That's the difference.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's big money.
It's a big deal. A lot of pressure from the other side.
And with the duels, it's special because it's like, you know, it's not just about qualifying. And with the duels, it feels like it's all on the driver, you know, because it's not a long race. Yeah. You know, yeah, there's a pit stop, but there's really not that much strategy in it. And because it's a super speedway, it's all about drafting. So it just feels like it's all driver that gets you mm-hmm. into that race. And so from a driver's perspective, that definitely plays a role in why it's so special.
Yeah, see that.
I can only imagine being there walking as a spectator. It feels crazy. So, I mean, it's one of the, I don't know.
That's as somebody who raced their way into the eRacer Firecracker 400 coming this summer, I know how it feels.
You know what? Don't even joke. That's the feeling.
That's the sim racing equivalent, if we're being honest. Yeah.
I've never felt either one of those experiences, so I've only sat on the side. Can I say winning a rookie street stock race? Is that the feeling?
Oh my gosh.
Is that a similar?
I thought it was rookie legends. It was legends.
It was rookie legends. Hey, that's open setup. There was a little bit of work in there.
That's true.
Wow. Hey, AJ, that is the feeling, though. And that's why we, you know, people say that about the Firecracker. It's like, that's a big deal. You guys, I mean, when you make the Firecracker 400, not that we have to delve into this too much right now, but, you know, you've beat out hundreds
statistically,
of people.
It's statistically harder to make the Firecracker 400 than the Daytona 500. You heard it here first.
Facts.
That is statistically true.
Facts.
Just saying.
These are big facts. You know what? With that fact, let's move on, guys, because Landon's finding out on this podcast, we always talk the biggest topics to start off. And that's what we just did, talking about the Daytona 500, next gen, Xfinity. That's what's happening right now. But we also like to go and find the biggest news topics that caught our eye around the motorsports world. And since none of you are probably prepared, I'll start off, guys. Well, all right. Josh is prepared. None of you others are prepared. I want to talk once again about Formula One, because that's all I have to do with these two topics. And as you may know, there's a lot of cars that launched over the last couple days, week and a half or so. And with the new 2022 rules where they're all, you know, they're just going to a similar car compared, you know, ideology similar to IndyCar and wow, NASCAR, where the car is far more spec. They all released renders. They didn't release the cars because they didn't want to show the cars and the little tweaks that they're going to have because of the new rules. So it was the lamest set of launches ever. And I can
think
back.
There was one launch.
Okay, yeah, Williams, right? They actually did it?
No, Aston Martin. Aston Martin actually showed off their car and then took it out to test.
Well, but it wasn't the real car.
No,
well,
it wasn't
like the real parts, they said, I thought.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. I got told that that was the same car, but
I thought it wasn't the real
parts. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, then you got one of all the teams that did it, which is okay. It's fine. But if you think back, there used to be F1 launches. Yeah, they're sort of spec.
Sort of.
I'll get into it. Sort of, well, let me finish this point real quick. Launches used to be Spice Girls. There was models. There was like fireworks. They did it in Singapore
music.
One time. Huge bands, music. There would be thousands of people that would show up to them. And this year mm-hmm. was like, here's some photos on Twitter. Get, you know, have fun. Bye. Here's some renders on Twitter. Thanks. Thanks for playing.
Here's a TikTok.
I thought it was lame. It was so lame. Anyway, yes, Landon, they have gone to a new style design car that's more spec than anything in
Formula 1
history.
Well, there is worry that when we get to Bahrain or whatever the first race is, that the cars are not going to look the same, which they won't, because there's going to be different things that the teams do. They're going to look completely different, just like they always have, even though they were trying to not do that. So, other than the wings are going to be exactly the same.
So they've been doing the photo shoot. I think it was Silverstone a lot. They had a lot of cars out there or wherever they're at doing photo shoots of the actual cars. So we've seen some photos of some of the cars. I know Alpine has like a whole camouflage livery that they're running right now. And
no, that's
we saw
Alfa
Williams.
Romeo. It's Alfa
Romeo. Sorry. Thank you.
They're at Imola.
You thought it was AlphaTauri?
We all thought it was
AlphaTauri. Wherever they're at, they're doing photos and blah, you know, that. But
they weren't doing photos. Like, those are secret spy photos.
I thought there was a whole media
day. You can tell that it's NASCAR season based on how much F1
we know.
News we get wrong.
Yeah.
So
we should just do a recap video of everything we said wrong during this entire news segment.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well. I don't know. All of it's lame. It's the biggest race series in the world. Do better car launches because you make new cars every year. What the heck? That's my thing. Moving on. Who else got a topic?
I got a topic.
Go.
It's about sim racing. iRacing is announcing that they're doing a iRacing college series, which is really freaking cool. It is basically they're going to have college kids representing their colleges and racing for scholarships.
That's awesome.
It is an incredible way to activate a connection with kids that, or I say kids, but people my age in college, and find a way to leverage a hobby that helps them in a way beyond just getting actual cash, but getting scholarships and stuff that can be sponsored. By their colleges that they're representing. So it's really an awesome activation by eNASCAR and iRacing. I'm really excited about that.
That's really cool. Wonder what eRacer could
I love
do
it.
To be involved in that.
Yeah.
I guess it's time for me to go to college.
AJ will be our college driver, eRacer college.
Do they take controller drivers at these college
Surely.
Events?
There's no rule against
must.
It.
They must
I don't think they care.
I wonder if that's a special scholarship, like if you could win on a controller versus on a wheel.
iRacing, I'm going to love you for iRacing to have a controller invitational series.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be really amazing.
That would be. I got to try it on a controller one time to know what you experienced, but I just can't imagine it's easy. Considering I drive, like Landon knows, I drive like a wheel, pedals, and everything, right? And I'm sweating after a race. So you're on like a controller doing it. How in the world?
I will say, world defending champion of F1, Max Verstappen, plays iRacing on a controller when he's not home. So just letting you all know.
Oh, so none of
there
us.
Is will, one, there is one.
There's
one photo.
Till
there was one photo on his Instagram story like a year and a half ago when they were.
Yeah. So this is his source, is a one photo a year and a half ago on his Instagram
He was literally
story.
On a laptop playing iRacing with a controller. He's driving a Porsche GTE. And that's
so Landon, there's no excuses.
And I can't find them anymore. But it happened.
Speaking of Max Verstappen. Yes. Absolutely, Landon. You should be iRacing right now. Why are you on a podcast?
I actually am. That's why I haven't been talking.
But Max on the iRacing subreddit, somebody had noted Max Verstappen went from like a 2,000 or a 1,500 iRating to a 7,000 iRating in like 20 days. Wow. 20 actual sim rate, like days on the platform, and maybe 40
races. Is that
races,
even
which
possible?
It, for those who don't play iRacing, you get like 10 to 20 iRating. Typically, maybe up to 50 or 60 if you're winning, and you got to slowly get that. And if you lose,
the lower split stuff, when you're first starting out, you're probably getting like 100. But the higher you get, the smaller you get. So
yeah,
once you're top split, you're not getting more than 30. You know.
And there was one day he won 14 out of the 15 races he competed in.
Well,
Well, that sounds like a Tuesday for me.
Yeah, his win rate's probably over like 70%.
Landon Parker, what? Winning races in his sleep over there.
Yeah.
All right, AJ, you got no news topic. Landon, you got anything?
I ain't got no news.
I don't. What was good on the NASCAR? Did anything come out of Daytona today?
I think just the college thing.
What?
They were bump drafting and it was ripping the decals off the bumpers. So that was a thing. So
Rick Rickard's were really fast.
I noticed
that was true.
So we have our bumpers on the next gen car, and they put the slick tape on them so that you don't hook bumpers and like turn somebody. But the next gen car has a tow hook that sticks out of the back of the bumper, and it's got like a rubber, you know, cover to it. And anyways, it makes me a little nervous. But
that's news. Tow hook. The tow hook could be the culprit.
Tow hook.
It could end somebody's Daytona 500 wins there to save it. All right, guys. Well, Landon, thanks for your first appearance on the podcast. This has been a bit of a disjointed one, but we hope you enjoyed it. We hope the listeners enjoyed it. AJ, Josh, did you enjoy it?
Guys, it's 10 episodes. How could we not? This is the 10th episode anniversary.
Today has been a roller coaster of emotion. We recorded part of the podcast, and then both of our eNASCAR cars got destroyed at the beginning of the race, and now we're recording another podcast.
Same podcast.
Just got different. We did get the two eNASCAR drivers on, and we got Landon on. So
it was successful. We went from no guests for like most of our podcasts, and now we've had three guests in one podcast.
We'll see if we can top it next week, and it'll just be guests. Well, next week we'll just be eight guests. It will just be all guests, not us. So look forward to it. Let's get out of this thing. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll see you next episode.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, play the outro music.
Play
it. We have to say something funny over the outro music. So.
Yeah, Landon, we want a joke. Do you have a joke, Landon?
Do you have a dad joke?
Buy Bitcoin.
Buy Bitcoin.
Bitcoin fixes you.